George, how you doing?
Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Pit out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Man.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfuckers.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Paul.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We need to the platform to fight the mainstream. This show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow up wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows, but the economy is muted.
Bitch, we represent all them killers on the mic, and we show love to all you fans. Motherfuckers wanna hate, do your thing, you keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm, come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's true, yes, I'm like dog. Hip hop, AD, representing for the legends, rapping mumble rappers, so me sitting on the hip. Tupac and P, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder man.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Perez. Welcome back to the Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 721. We're bringing back a guest that we had on early on in the year before all this COVID crap happened. You know what I'm saying? Mr. King George needs no introduction. I'm going to bring him on right now, the one and only Mr. King George. Hey, man, how you been during all this crazy shit going on in 2020 since we last talked?
Hey, man, first of all, I want to say what's up to everybody out there. Thank you for tuning in to the Real Murder Show, and that's how they do it. As far as me, with the COVID-19 coronavirus, I've been maintaining. It gave me a chance to get some rest, get some things together because I was moving a little fast, and it played right into what I was doing.
Yeah, definitely. Also, since we last talked in January, No Limit Chronicles been all over BET, a real big docuseries about No Limit Records. What's your take on it? Do you like how it's turned out so far?
Oh, man, I'm really happy about it because they really put my story out there that I was getting ready to put out myself, and depicted a nice image of me. It really gave me some shine.
Yeah. It added you to the equation where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because for years, King George was not in the equation. A lot of people, like the fans who really knew what was up, like myself, we was wondering where you were, man, and it's got to feel good to come out of them shadows, so to speak, and get some limelight.
Oh, definitely, especially for my situation. You know, my situation, I needed that limelight because, like you said, King George was put in the dark with the No Limit what that word is I want to use, because I want to use the right word, right? Well, the No Limit episode of this journey, you know, it put me right where I needed to be, because what made it so big was a lot of people heard about me and a lot of people didn't hear about me. So when they actually saw me up there, it was a surprise and it was a good thing, because everybody was emphasizing on Master P. I was like the secret weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, You were the guy. You were the guy behind the scenes that would help making things go down. You were going on road trips with him and whatnot. Before that, though, you grew up with Master P in the Calio Projects, man, New Orleans. When did you guys first meet? How old were you?
Oh, me and Master P met about 6-7 years old because we lived in the same project. And back then in the 70s, family was closer, you know. We had love for each other. It wasn't all that hate out there, you know. People had love in the hood. We didn't have much, but we had that love that kept us going.
Yeah. So you guys were just kids, 6-7 years old.
Like family. Two guys with afros.
So you guys running around, you know, playing whatever kids do at that age. At what point in time did you guys get into music? Like, were you guys influenced by like the likes of Eazy-E and Ruthless and what they were doing?
We was influenced. We 60s and 70s babies, so we came up with the Run DMCs, the Sugar Hill Gang. That was our era. Our first. Stepping stone into being inspired by getting into the entertainment business. Those guys there, the music, you know, that rap, that new rap sound back in the day, Sugar Hill Gang, that really got into you if you was motivated by getting into the entertainment business.
Yeah, okay. So that really got you guys, sparked your interest for hip hop. When did you guys know you had skills, you know what I'm saying, as far as the rhymes were concerned?
Well, the first thing you got to have is a want and a dream. If you want to be, if you're a kid and you want to be a firefighter or a police officer, you got to have that want and that dream to see yourself knowing it's attainable. Even though the force is saying, no, you knowing you can be this. And then you got the role models coming up showing you they from the ghetto, they made it. This guy from the ghetto, he made it. So this kept fueling us to keep moving.
Yeah, definitely. But what I'm saying though is when Eazy came out and showed everybody that you could do this, did that have an impact on you guys?
Oh, like I said from the beginning, from the beginning, we start off with the early sound, right? And then as we develop, because back in the day, our communities used to throw talent shows and all that for the projects. You know, big old stars coming out, bands, we dancing. And if you wanted to be a part of these talent shows, you just put your name on the list 3 weeks prior, right? And every time I put my name on that list, I see P in there. If it wasn't breakdancing, to try to rap or dance, it's something to do with the with hip hop in general.
Yeah.
So what happened was, as we we just what we wanted. We really was trying to find a way out of our situation and make money at the same time and have fun. So as we did this, we had this dream. Back in the day when we did the talent show, we like 10, 11 or whatever. And this dream kept hold because then you had artists like LL start coming out. You had artists like EPMD, right? So we still want to do it, but we thinking about this level, right? But then all of a sudden, the crack epidemic hit, right? So now... we got to put this entertainment to the side for a minute because we got to get these pharmaceuticals sold, right, in New Orleans. 18, 19, 17 years old, because this is the only way to get this money. We can't get a job because that's too slow. In Louisiana, what you making, $75 a week, $150 every 2 weeks, and your bills or whatever you're trying to do is far away from that, right? So as we develop our skills, and I'm going to say, as we did our thing in the Calio, it got so hot, our families were smart enough to say, hey, at the same time, even though we didn't know that each of us was leaving, right, this happened by accident, My family told me I got to get out of there because they saw I was going to get killed. His family saw that he was going to get killed because that was the rotation of the game. You got to kill or be killed because that's what it's all about. That's the image they throwing on us. So me and Master P got out of there almost at the same time, and I hit Oakland, California. He hit Richmond, California with his wife, Sonya, family, and I went with my sister. And I was out there for about 2 or 3 months, and I went to a place called Al Cerrito Plaza. That's the bar station, right?
Yeah.
And it was a jack-in-the-box across the street. And I said, damn, let me go over here and get me a little chicken sandwich or something, right? So I leave off the bar station platform, and I walk over here to the jack-in-the-box. I go open the door, and this guy coming out is Pete. I'm like, hey, what you doing out here? He said, what you doing out here? And he said, I'm rapping. I said, shit, I'm rapping too. And he said, well, shit, we chopped it up for a minute. He gave me his info. Back then we didn't have cell phones, so we had to have a landline, right? He gave me his house number. I got his. The next day we're getting it back on. We're talking about what we're rapping about. And at that same time, NWA had dropped. The hip-hop industry was getting hard, and we was like, this is the level I'm on right here. That's when we decided that we was going to do hardcore hip-hop, not regular LL hip-hop and all that.
Yeah, because the first stuff that P did with Grandmaster Scratch and them, it was more, you know what I'm saying, it looked more hip-hop-ish. You know what I'm saying? The cover looked like something like LL Cool J or somebody like that would have done. What was your first impression of the Richmond guys when you got to meet like Big O and Grandmaster Scratch and all them?
Oh, them guys were the first guys that gave us love. They treated us like family because me and Master P, you got to understand, we're from New Orleans, Louisiana, right? We still got these accents. So a lot of people was like, oh, these country boys, we stand out. We say something, you turn your head and be like, where are you from? You know, so these were the guys who showed us love, showed us the ways around there, showed us who was who, showed us what cuts to go in. You know what I'm saying? They gave us the blueprint of Richmond, California, how to get around. People say introducing us to other people. So they were the foundation to us really moving and grooving through Richmond.
Yeah, and you guys needed that, like you said, being from New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? That definitely helped right there. But you also, if I'm not mistaken, Grandmaster Scratch introduced you guys to K. Lou, did he not?
Exactly. K. Lou, Grandmaster Flash was K. One of I'm going to say K. Lou was one of Grandmaster Flash's friends. Like I said, they laid the blueprint. They were introducing us to everybody. We really didn't know anybody. So what happened was from there, he found out that K. Lou was like a production guy because his mom was like in the entertainment too. They had a limousine and everything. And P followed up on it. That's P. Forte. If he know he can do business with you, if he know he can use you to get to the next level, he gonna follow up on you and see you again, even if it's on his own reconnaissance.
Yeah. Very smart individual. A lot of people won't think of that, you know.
Definitely, definitely. He always thinking. When you stop thinking, he's still thinking on you. He'll put you to sleep.
Huh. Wow, mind of a hustler, huh? Definitely.
Mind of a hustler. Mind of somebody that, man, I'm telling this guy here. If you run with him, he gonna put you to sleep. He not gonna stop. And I used to ask him, I said, damn, because once before we, after we did the album with Grandmaster Scratch, them from Richmond, Chili D, and Magic Mark, Big O, what happened was we went and got an office in Oakland because he needed an office because he was always business-minded. He always wanted an office, and he had the little No Limit record store in San Pablo. It was like a hole in the wall, but it was he had it made up like a store, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how that went.
And he had the store. He didn't have the store when you guys bumped into each other at the Jack in the Box, though, right?
No, he didn't have the store. He was in the making of getting the store. Because he was telling me, man, I'm about to open up this store over here. And the day he opened it up, I'm over there. He had it set up like a real store. It was a little one where you walk in and you go too far, you're going to end up in the back in the backyard, right? Yeah. So he had the store. He had the double leg section. And what happened with the store was, soon the store started selling a little something. His brother Kevin Miller got shot in New Orleans because I was sitting down. Because he'll let me run the store. He said, King, I got to go home. I'm tired. So he'll go because he had to go home with his wife, right? So he'll go home and leave me with the store. And I'm running the store. Before he left, Kevin had called. And he was asking Kevin, come on out here, man. He was begging him to come out here. Come on in. And I'm telling him, come on, Kevin. It's better out here because it's more, you got more ground out there. New Orleans is just so small and condensed. Everybody killing each other. So he didn't listen. And the next day, Kevin got met his demise on a bad level. And he just took off. He called me one day. He said, man, I got to go to New Orleans and take care of my brother because I got to lay him to rest. And I was like, P, you want me to come with you? He was like, no, you stay here at the No Limit store. You run this and get us some fun so when I get back. And he said, I don't even know I'm going to come back, man. This is my little brother, man. I'm all broke up. So P took off in a Cadillac. His wife, his mom, his sister, they all were packed in a big Cadillac, and he drove down there. He didn't catch a plane. He drove. And it usually takes 3 days to drive to New Orleans, right? P made it in like a day and something.
Wow.
Yeah, he damn near put wings on that Cadillac. He damn near put wings. I'm still serious. He called me about a day later. I said, well, it was like Monday. And he called me Tuesday night saying he was there. I said, what? I said, would y'all stop and call the plane? Because that's the ride. I done took it before with him. From here, Texas is a whole day by itself. From here to California. If you go to Texas, it's going to take a full day. I can bet any money to anybody out here. You're going to go a full day trying to get to New Orleans from Texas. That's how big Texas is.
And you know, he gets the call, you know what I'm saying, that his brother, you know, was killed. And
yeah, his
was
brother
just,
passed away
by
his mom now.
And this was just a day or so after you guys were trying to tell him to come to Richmond.
This was a day or two after, because I remember telling him, come on, Kevin, come on out here. And, you know, I know the whole family. I'm like, man, come on out here with us, man. So even C. Murder was out there, you know. We were trying to get them all out here. Silk was already out here, but he was like a little kid in middle school. He really couldn't run with us because his mom didn't even want Silk out there. Silk started coming out there because he got so tall, we needed his height. He still was like a little baby.
Yeah, so you got Silk out there, and Kevin was about to come out there, then he gets killed. I mean, I can't even imagine what that had been like for P and the family. You know,
that was bad. That was a bad one. Because he was too young. He was too young here, and that was the one, like P, he was a thinker. If Kevin was here and P and them, there, man, he'd be right there by his side. He was smart. He was just like P. That's the one he clicked with. They did the same thing. They was damnly like twins.
Yeah, that's a damn shame. So P goes down there, you know, to be with the family and whatnot, and then he comes back.
Okay, so P go down
like
there, right?
He came back.
Okay, here it is. P come back, right? You never know what P was on P's mind because he's not an emotional person that hold it on his shoulder, right? You damnly got to pull it out of him. That's what I know. I know him to a T because I lived with him for 2 years. P got his right hand, right? Nobody don't know this. P right hand, right? If you really look at P, I think it's the left hand. The left hand is always straight. Look at him. You're going to notice it now since I'm telling you. P left hand is always straight. You might not see his left hand because what happened was the inside of his hand is white like somebody dried it out. They never get moisture because I found out by him because he got pissed off with me one day. I was looking at him. I said, man, you ain't never been your hand. That left hand, you keeping it straight. And he looked at me. I said, oh, what's wrong? What's wrong with that hand? I'm messing with him, right? He said, man, don't mess with me, man. And then it come to find out when he was 5 years old, he's trying to stick some shit because we had these electric outlets, right? And if a kid stick a bobby pin in there, back then they had the big black bobby pins, right? And P sticking shit in the outlet. I heard this from his sister. He stuck the pin in the outlet, and the whole thing lit his whole hand up. Well, he passed out. He on the ground, his grandma running there, right? She screamed, ah! They all screaming. They thought he was dead. So they get in there, his hand got fried. So make a long story short, that's why his hand is straight, because when he was a kid, he put his hand in the electric socket. And I found out by messing with him that day.
Oh, man, you didn't even know, huh? He almost died.
I didn't even know, but we standing there. Yeah, I was messing with him, joke. I said, man, you ain't, because I just caught him by accident. Because I said, damn, why his hand so straight like that? I thought he was going to bend it, and every time he moved, it just stayed straight. I was like, what's that? And I looked inside his hand. It was like, it was all dried out. It can't get moisture because the electric shock took all the moisture out of inside his hand. He'll never tell nobody. You won't even see his left hand. When he play basketball, if you watch, that left hand is always straight.
Yeah. Damn. Man, we might not even had a No Limit Records, you know.
Yeah, he was gone, man. They took him. Yeah, they took him to Charity Hospital. He was gone.
So he. Oh, okay. So they had to like revive him then.
He was a little kid, 6 years old. He on the ground by shock, right? It was a miracle that he lived because they got into the hospital. This little guy just got his whole hand electrocuted. Mm. And it just shocked his whole body. You know what I'm saying? They lucky it didn't stop his heart. His heart had to be going, because when the electric shock, if it stopped your heart, you're gone. That's what could have happened. He got lucky. It was a miracle. P had a bunch of miracles going on.
I would say so, man. A bunch of miracles, tragedies, successes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. But you were there with him, you know, from day one, from you know, when he was a kid. You went out there to Richmond. You guys, you know what I'm saying, were doing the No Limit thing. You know, the first tape, we always say the first, they say, was Mind of a Psychopath. The EP, it was like it was supposed to be like you guys were all dressed like in suits like the Untouchables. You remember taking that picture?
Exactly. Oh yeah. What happened with that was, I'll never forget it, because Grandmaster Flash, Grandmaster Scratch is the one that got us the real guns. We had real shotguns, right? Grandmaster Scratch, Magic Mark, they brought all. Peace out. I need some guns. We wanted to look like the real Untouchables from back in the day, right? So now we got these 5-gallon hats. You know, the real gangster hats, right?
Yeah, I've seen the picture, all suits and guns.
Yeah, we got the hats on, we got the suits on, we got real shotguns in our hand. So now we over there in Richmond between APM Way, where it dropped down like into a valley when you're on the freeway, right?
Yeah.
You ever pass that way on the freeway 80? And you look down, you can't see down there because it's like a valley down there. If you ever go around Hilltop Mall, you'll look at valleys in there. Because you can look up and the car won't even see you down there unless you're on the top freeway and you look down, right?
So, yeah, is that the same place where you guys took the Getaway Clean photos, where you guys were on the fence?
No, I'm going to get to that. So we're taking the photos for the Real Untouchables, right? And off 80... between Hilltop and Fitzgerald on 80. It's a valley. So we taking these pictures, right? Somebody called and told the cops and some guys with some shotguns off the 80. They couldn't find us. But we saw these highway patrols going around everywhere, right? Trying to find out where these guys with all these guns. Because back then people had to go to a payphone. Because they didn't have cell phones and shit, right? So somebody went to a payphone and say, some guys went, they kept riding around. They couldn't find us. We looking out, hey, man, the damn highway patrol looking for us. So So we hurry up and got out there, and we got all the guns together, put them in the car, they never caught us. And that's why we took that photo for the Real Untouchable. But the Getaway Clean album cover was did at CC College on their gates in Richmond, yeah. In San Pablo.
That's like a crazy, though, you know, going back to the Real Untouchables cover, that's like a comedy skit. I mean, the cops are called on you guys, and they're driving past you and everything. There you are right there. I mean, you can't be missed.
That's funny.
You're in suit.
Because 80 it's a drop. You can't see it. You got to actually be looking for it. We right there, that's how they built the freeways high. So now it's inside the freeway joint. Laying inside the valley. So we right here, right? It's the freeway tall. If you look at 80, it's set up high. So now they got a valley down there that people can really go in there where it's all grassy. And for some reason, Pete picked the perfect location. They could not find us. They were going around in circles. There was like guys with about 6 guns, shotguns. So they really was looking. Along with the Richmond police, they're all rolling around, and we come out the valley and roll right by them. They're looking. We say, look at these clowns, man.
Wow. You guys had been laughing about that for weeks.
No, we were laughing. We were still scared. We still had the guns. We still had to pass all these cops. They're looking around, and we drove around. We were sweating until we got home because we still got all these guns in the car.
That could have been it right there. Yeah.
Man, we didn't have a smile on our face.
It could have been disastrous.
Yeah.
You know, forget about being the Real Untouchables. You'd be going straight to jail.
Yeah, we're
going to
be
right?
The Untouchables then. Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
But that, you know, that's dope history right there. You know, people don't know about But you were talking about the Getaway Clean cover. What was the concept behind that?
The concept was what that was, we start getting harder now because we were influenced by NWA and all Scarface and all these other hard. So the music game went in that area then. So we was talking about we gonna do dirt and we gonna get away with it clean by using music. And using this hardcore thing and still staying in the game. So if you notice on the Getaway Clean, he's actually looking through some binoculars. That a police looking at us, he think we dealing dope, but we rapping. That was the concept. He's telling you this how you get away clean. You do hip-hop. You look like the dope dealer. You move like the dope dealer, but you dope. So when the cop come looking through these binoculars, we jumping over the gate with these bats. We going to whoop your ass because we ain't doing nothing.
And this was, you know what I'm saying, this was a whole different concept. You know what I'm saying? The first one, you guys were in suits. This one, obviously. You know what I'm saying? You guys but it's still the same type of thing, man. You're getting away. Whose idea was this? Was this P's or yours? Or?
That was Pete. P had the concept. I was his backup man. I made sure that I had his back and everybody knew it. He was the brain, I was the muscle. You know, we made that clear one day because I tried to play the brain one day and I was too aggressive. You know, I'm too aggressive. I might go off on you. It had to take a businessman mind who could say, you know what, let me think about this. I wasn't a real thinker back then. I just, I was a person that react.
You acted, yeah, you acted before. Well, I remember last time you were on here, you were telling me a story about there was an incident at the club where you had, you know what I'm saying, you had to defend P, I guess, in Texas, and you ended up doing time.
Okay, what happened with that was as we did the Getaway Clean albums and then try to make money and live and, you know, pay rent and do everything at the No Limit record store that really wasn't selling records, we took it to the streets and we started hustling. You know, we started doing paperwork, we started selling pharmaceuticals. So what happened was we started doing so much stuff trying to get so much money to where we got too hot. We had to move, right? We said, man, we got to get out of Cali. That's how much stuff we start doing, right? he said we got, he gave up the No Limit Record Store. We shut that down, right? Because we're doing too much. No Limit Record Stand open to midnight. You know what we're doing now. You feel me? You know what we're doing now. The store open now. It's really No Limit. Don't close now. So we serving at the store now. When you buy a tape, you're getting something else too. So anyway, we got hot, and me and Pete decided to get on the road. We threw Sonya, Lil Romeo, Silk, and the little baby Versi down to Texas by his family. His auntie had a condo out there, a big old house, and she invited us in. But what Pete did was he got the money that we hustled up and sent it down there and got his wife to get us an apartment. So we already had a double-bedroom apartment, like a single-bed apartment waiting on us. So now all we got to do, me and P got to get out of Cali, right? So before we get out of Cali, we do our thing. We make a few licks. We take a few things here, there. You know, we go on a little crime spree, right? So we get to jump in this big old blue Impala, one of them old school, like a 72. We got one of them we rolling in. We looking like real mobsters, right? We hitting the road. We get on the road that night. We got everything. We got credit cards, everything. We doing it all. We hustling. We don't give a shit. So now we rolling. I got my pistol in my pocket. Pete got his pistol. I keep my little 380P like a 9, right? So we on the road now. We rolling. Just as you get out of L.A., you're going to go into Phoenix. So we hit Phoenix. I see the sign say Phoenix, right? No, I see the sign say Arizona. I said, oh, shit, this ain't going to take long to get to Texas because we're driving down. We're going all the way down. We hit Phoenix. So I lay back down, and Pete hit me on my arm right with his elbow. I said, damn, what's wrong, man? He said, look. I look in the mirror. I woke up right away. There was a highway patrol behind us, right? It was one cop. So he said, damn, he's pulling us over. I said, damn. So I take my piece and shove it under the seat, right? Pete didn't have time to move here. So now the cop coming to my door, he got me blocked in. I wanted to get out and run, right? So now he got me blocked in. He's telling P to get out the car. He said, look, you get out the car. Matter of fact, you give me your ID. I gave him my ID. Now I'm stuck now, right? I can't go nowhere. He got my information. So now I'm sitting there. He kept asking P, sir, give me your ID. And I kept telling P, man, give him your ID. Get him off me, right? So I can dish some of this shit on me. So, he's not moving. I'm not understanding why, but I'm looking. He's moving his leg. He's trying to work his pistol down his leg, right? Because he didn't want to get out with the pistol. They were going to get him. So now he worked that pistol down his leg all the way there. He was smart. He got the pistol down to the floor, and he kicked it under the seat. I see it go under. Now I got two pistols with me, right? So he get out there. He get out the car, and the police handcuff him and put him on the bumper. Police running everything, he running it, I'm looking. I'm nervous because I said, damn, I don't want to go to jail in Phoenix, right? I'm saying, in Arizona, I know how tough the prisons are. So now the cop come back. I'm looking at all this, right, through my little mirror. I said, damn, he coming back. So he get the cuffs off, and I said, oh, okay. And he give him his ID back, and he come back to me. He said, look, I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't know what you guys are doing. I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to take your license plates. We like, what? He took our license. He let us go, but he took the plates off. Now we sitting ducks, right? So he let us go. We rolling. We got all the way to Texas, right, with no plates. Now, instead of going home, going by his auntie or wherever and getting in, we want to party, man. Let's go shoot some pool. Come on, man. So we go to H-Town. We in Houston now. We rolling around. No plates on. We driving fast, everything. We get to the club. I got my pistol on me back then. They really wasn't tripping off scanning you getting in these clubs, right, like they do now. Everybody got guns in the club, right? So we in there. We shooting pool. We having fun laughing. And this girl, he looking at her and the girl looking at him. And the girl come up, they talk, and P gave the female his number, right? So now we still shooting pool. We back shooting pool. I'm behind the eight ball, right? I'm about to sink this boy. kid, I see a piece of paper laying in the middle of the pool table. And I look back, who the hell threw that in there? It's the girl boyfriend. She threw P number back at us, right? And he said, I don't know who you niggas is, but y'all don't give my girlfriend your number. She cool. So the guy got a pool ball in his hand. I never forget. I see his hand. It was a strike ball in his hand. P getting ready to hit P with it, right? So I said, hey, and I lift my shirt and showed him the handle of my pistol, right? I said, don't do that. And the guy was like, oh, it's like that? And I told the guy, I said, hey, man, it's always like that with me. And the guy stepped back. He said, okay, it's all good. So he went over there. We sitting and talking to all kind of guys. We still shoot. We fake shooting pool now because we got to keep our eye on this dude. We don't know what's going down now. I just showed this guy his pistol. We don't know what's going to go down now. P got his shit halfway cocked. We ready, right? So now we still shooting pool, and we end up sneaking out the place. We get out of there. We go out of the place, and P tell me, he said, King, you know what? I want this nigga. I say, man, you want him, you got him. I'm down with him 100%, right? So now we waiting in the parking lot. The club let out about 2, it's about 1. And we waiting. We waiting patient. We waiting about 1:59. Everybody start rolling out the club. And we see the one we want. We cutting loose. Now I let off about 4 shots. P left off about 2. And we had these gazelles. They used to wait back in the day, like the Run DMC gazelles. I had the square ones, and P had the round ones. So now we let off these shots, and we trying to run. P glasses come off. He try to go back and get them. I grab his hand. Hey, man, don't go back and get that. Let that shit go. So we get in the car and take off. We got the whole parking lot smoked up, right? You can't see nothing because before I take off, them big old impalas hit a full circle, right? I just try to go straight, but I hit it so hard, it spent all the way out on me, and I took off on the freeway. So we got away with that. I think after we did that, we went at some chicken.
Yeah, George, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so you went for some chicken, and what happened after that?
What happened after that, the next day, me and P's wife went to do some paperwork, right? P made me this ID. It looked like a Texas license, right? So I get to the Walmart to go get a whole bunch of stuff for the house and stuff like that. So the guy got my ID, and there was a security guard, one of the, like, the in-store private security with the plain clothes. He looked over the rack and said, hey, man, that looked like that guy they was talking about at this club. They did a shooting. Tall, black, they had a description of me, right? Because the people in the club, they was really looking for us. We wasn't even tripping. We didn't know they were looking for us like that. So the security guard come over there to me, what they call them people who do the security, the recovery people. Anyway, he come over to me. And he showed me his little security badge. He said, can you come in the back with me for a minute? I said, I'm not coming nowhere with you. I'm talking to the little private security, right? So as I'm saying, this a real Harris County Sheriff deputy walked through the door. A real one. This the real deal, like a police. And the guy, the security guy, said, hey, excuse me, officer, can you give me some help over here? And the guy said, what's up? I think this guy, so he whispered to him, this guy here, we think he's one of the ones. Who did this stuff. So the Harris County Sheriff deputy, he grabbed me by the back of my belt, right? He got me. I'm like, hold on, man, slow down. He damn got my shit all rared up in me, right? So I'm like, hold on. He said, well, we're going to find out what's going on. I'm going to let you go about your business. Well, anyway, I ended up getting took down to the station where they do you at the last 48, where they put the cameras, ask you where you was. So I'm under this kind of scrutiny. So they asking me, where your boy at? They know it was 2 of us, right? They kept asking me, where your brother at, man? They thought P was my brother. Because people get that mistaken. We tall, we damn near look alike. And they all, oh, they're brothers, they're cousins. They don't know. So anyway, the cops kept asking for my brother. They asked me for this for like two or 3 days. They had me at the Harris County jail. where they'll come get me out. They didn't charge me yet, but they was holding me on like on a 24-48 hour hold. And they back and forth trying to get me to confess till they just slap me with the charges. They just said, okay, you getting it. Aggravated battery. And plus, we got that check you had over there. That was stolen too. They were trying to get anything, right? So now I'm sitting in this place. P can't get me out. P at the house. He know the house hot. The wife get back to the house and tell P, King gone. They took him. Oh, Lord, King gone. P damn, he lost his mind. They said, oh, shit. He started thinking about all the shit. I know he ain't thinking I'm about to snitch on him, right? But he got to get the hell out of there. So now, P get up out of there. He can't get me out because they set a no bond because the people was like, nah, we don't want him out because this lady got shot in the hand off a ricochet bullet and this guy shot in the ass, right? Well, he didn't kill nobody, but he caught a few people in a bad spot. So I'm in there, and after about 8 months, after fighting it, I went on and took a plea bargain for 8 years.
Damn. And what year was this, King George?
That was 1990. I'll never forget because I got out in 1992. I stayed 2 flat years. I was supposed to do the whole 8, but it was a law that came through in Texas that the legislature passed. Texas so big, right? The overcrowding was so bad, so I couldn't go to the regular pen. They sent me to Mexico Penitentiary.
That was the hardest penitentiary down in Mexico? Wow.
Yeah, it's called Laredo. It's called Laredo. Anybody you ask about Laredo, you don't want to go to that prison. It's an old penitentiary where it's all shaped up, bars and stuff like that. 2 years and you don't get nothing but Mexican food. You get burritos and you don't watch nothing but Mexican TV all day. It was like hell.
Damn. That's crazy.
I think I lost a little weight there, but I stayed in shape because every day you got guys that might want to box you, right? Because that's what they do in Texas. They like to fight. So I got real skill on my hand skills because every time you look around, I was boxing with somebody because these guys are hard-headed, you know? I might have some toothpaste in my box and some guy just help yourself to it. So when you help yourself to my shit without asking, I'm going to put something on your ass if I don't kill you. So that's the reputation I had out there. Because I kept me a blade. I kept me a blade. I was always ready. You got to keep a blade. I kept me a sharp blade. I kept me a sharp toothbrush. At the end of my toothbrush, I stick you. I kill you. I brush my teeth and kill you with the same tool.
Well, you're down there. I mean, you got to do whatever the fuck you got to do, I imagine. How did you get
through
that?
Oh, you got to do what you got to do. You got to. I'm not that type of guy.
How did you survive mentally?
Oh, I survived good mentally because my dad and my mom were strong anyway. So I came out with a strong constitution even before I got there.
So you was already mentally prepared.
Yeah, it's like me and P are already mentally prepared for all the money he gets. That's why you can give me $1 trillion. I'm gonna still talk to you because I already know what the stumbling blocks of this situation is and how you keep it equal.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. So you do this time. Meanwhile, P had already got with Intermittent Records, or that was coming, I guess, while you were inside. And you get out during the time he drops Mama's Bad Boy?
Okay. We was on Intermittent before I left with the Getaway Clean because they was doing distribution for it. So when I left, we was already dealing with Jason Bland. That's the guy I almost scared, and P got on me, told me never go into office like that. That's why P told me, let me do the brains, you do the muscle. I was like, you go there, I almost broke him up, for real. Jason Bland was scared. He was like, who this guy? Yeah, so Jason, what happened was, P, when I got out, P was like, man, Jason don't want to pay me my money. He not paying nobody. He got RBL over there. He got Hammer over there, everybody. He don't want to cut nobody no checks, right? So we in the office, and Jason said, come, we waiting outside. So Jason got about 5 people want to talk to him about their money, right? So now we go in there. We sitting down with Jason. I'm patting my feet. I'm sizing him up, right? Let me see what part of his fucking head I'm going to take off. I'm thinking, right? I'm stupid, right? I don't know what the hell I'm about to send myself to the pen again. So now, P said, well, Jason, I would like to get a check for the amount of units I moved. We probably moved about 100 units. We thought we was moving some shit, right? We didn't know. So, and Jason said something about, well, P, you come back and talk to me in about a month, and then I might have something for you, right? So I stood up. I said, you know what? You're going to pay us right now. We're not going out of here nowhere until I get the check. P was like, he's looking at me like, King, please don't do this to us. You're going to scare these people. We ain't going to sell shit after a while. So now Jason's sitting down. I think he opened a drawer or something up on my ass. I seen something slide open, right? He was nervous, right? So P called. P said, come outside, King. Come outside. Let me holler at you. So Jason rubbing up, Jason had this long hair, right? Jason stroking his hair, right? He could tell he's nervous. He's trying to straighten his hair. So now P take me outside. He said, King, man, don't do this fucking shit no more. This how P talked to me because we brothers, right? Man, don't scare these people, King. Let me handle the business, man. You're going to do this, they're not going to let us in none of the offices then, right? Because these guys call and you're not going nowhere, right? That's how the chain goes. So now I look at P, I say, you got it, man. I'm not saying nothing else. And from that day on, when we went to Atlantic Records and tried to get a deal, you heard nothing out of me. P looking at me like, yeah, because I'm listening, right? So now we get out of Jason's office, and that set the plan on my role and P role.
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you say?
I said he had to stop you. You was getting ready to put one on.
No, yeah, exactly. Because we got just the way we're gonna do it. He's gonna show me how we're gonna do it. How we're gonna get to the top. So when I was locked up, he dropped Mama's Bad Boy and Understanding the Criminal Mind. Because my sister, he kept in contact with my family. How King doing? How you holding up? Oh, they put him in a Mexican prison because my sister and them came to see me. They had to come across the border. They couldn't bring none. It was rough, man. They had to come way out here. The prison's so far off from the city, right? It's like being on Alcatraz. Because if you do break out and run, them little big old pigs with the big teeth, them hogs don't get your ass. That's where they live at. You ever seen them big hogs with the teeth look like it's going through their jaws?
Yeah, the wild boar, yeah. Crazy fucking
That's what we were surrounded by. That was the water. So no, they had gates we can get through. We'll shut the gate on our own. Yeah, you go out here, you're gonna be fooled. Cause they had to shoot a couple of them that got in there.
They do eat people. Yeah.
Oh man, you're not getting in there. And they not scared. You come and you kicking dirt out of them, right? They gonna charge you.
Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah, so I get out, right? I'm in this prison, but I met this kingpin while I was in this prison, right? And the kingpin had hurt his arm because he got shot by the highway patrol. He had about 4 or 5 keys on him, and the highway patrol tried to rip him out the car, and he took off in the car, but the highway patrol ended up getting a couple shots off. So anyway, I got my money on by dealing with him because if he have any beef with anybody, they got beef with me, right? So
yeah.
He started putting money on my books, and he hooked me up with one of his girlfriend's girl. So I had a girlfriend that sent me money, everything sent me. So because we could get boxes out there. Say like if I was in there and I asked you to send me something, right? You'll have to send in a box. You can send me corn, toothpaste, whatever I need, right? But in my toothpaste and my corn, I got weed, I got everything in there, right? I got all the shit in Mexico. So I'm in there the only one selling shit and smoking weed in that motherfucker till I got out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So now I'm out. I'm going to stay with the girl that the kingpin hooked me up with. She lived in Houston. And my mind on P, right? Man, where P at? P, so I called my sister down in Oakland. I said, look, I'm coming down there and live with you for a while till I get on my feet. And I told my girlfriend down in Houston I was going, and it kind of broke her heart because she didn't want me to leave. I told her I was rapping, right?
Yeah.
So I get back to Oakland, and I run across P's sister. She almost hit somebody when she seen me. I heard out the window, King! And I turned around. I said, damn, who that was? And she hurry up, hit a U-turn, this Master P's sister. She hurry up, hit a U-turn, and pulled side of me. She jumped out the car and give me a hug. When you got out? She said, boy, P looking for you. She said, he can't wait till you got. He heard you was about to get out. So anyway, she gave her my, I had a pager back then. I gave her my pager number. P was at my sister's shop. My sister had a hair shop. The next day, P said, we hugged. Well, nigga, you back. We all again. So I take off with P in his car. I ain't seen my sister in about 3 or 4 months. You know how we do it, me and P. We is on again. We back on again. I'm back in the passenger seat. We rolling again.
And was this when you guys went out west for the
I got back to Oakland. P was already. What happened was while I was locked up, it got too hard for him in Texas, so he had to move back to Cali. That's what happened was, because we moved to Texas, that's how I got into trouble, and he saw it wasn't cool, so he moved back to Cali, back to Richmond. And I'll end up going back to Oakland, so we end up back in Cali again, because we was hot about 2 years ago prior to that. We was too hot to do anything. But we cooled off and we moved back up, right? So I'm in Oakland, he back in Richmond, his sister tell him, and now we back rolling again on the West. Because now he's telling me I want to put out a new album, and the album was called Who's the Killer?
Oh, okay. So you guys started working on that one.
Yeah, Who's the Killer? Milkman. Yeah, Milkman and Silk was rolling. C Murder, Big Ed, me, Cali G. That's Who's the Killer.
At this point, Big O, Grandmaster Scratch, they had left already, right?
They left already. They left during the first album because no money was generated. They saw it was kind of like hard work. You had to keep moving. You got to keep on wiggling. After that, they start doing their own things.
Yeah. You're still there at this point. You guys put out this project.
We put out the Who's the Killer. That circulate, that get a little noise. Now me and Pete back full flash hustling again now, right? I got my old trusty 9. I got my old trusty 380. I got a brand new one back in my pocket again, right? Pete got a brand new 9 because what happened was Pete got his wife to get us these pistols, right? Because the first ones we had was dirty, but these were legit. Just in case they stop us, it'll be on somebody's name. It wasn't one of them ones with a body on it. So now I got my 380 on me. P got his 9. We back doing pharmaceutical. We back hustling. Now we hit a lick after the Who's the Killer, but the Who's the Killer not doing good. P said, man, I'm ready to work on the new album. What is called? The new album is called The Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me. Oh, I like that one. We start on The Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me. The Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me. So we get that album together and put it out. It start buzzing a little bit. Oh, we got a little buzz off this. Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me. Oakland loving it. San Francisco loving it. We getting a few in. We going to bring it to St. Charles, right? E-40's uncle. We drive from Oakland to Fairfield. Me, Silk, C. Murder, about six tall motherfuckers in a car, like a basketball team. We get to St. Charles, giving the Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me. St. Charles look at it. I like this. St. Charles was the man that was connected with all the distributors. He the one that made sure E-40 got his money off the mailman. Remember that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, classic.
Solar Music Group put that, helped him back that up. That's his uncle. So, The Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me, so I'm getting a few checks off that, seeing a few in. Pete said, I'm ready to do another album. What are we going to do, Pete? We're going to do the West Coast Bad Boys. It's a compilation. King, you got a solo song on it. He always had something reserved on me because he always say, King, whatever I do, you deserve it. Because I was just like him. I'm the muffle. I'm right here. I'm doing whatever we got to do. So now we do the West Coast Bad Boys. C-Bo was one of the hottest selling artists. We got him headlining it. Then it's called Headed for the Jack with me and him and Master P. We got the true, me, C Murder, Silk, Big Ed, C, Master P. We got the song for True, Would You Take a Bullet for Your Homie? Would you take a bullet for your homie? That was ours on there. We got Ray Love on there. We got JT, the bigger figure, Selsky, RBL. We got some hitters on here, right? Ray Love, Selly Fell. We got some hitters. We ready to go. Lil Rick. Oh, we put that out. It's selling, right? Oh, this shit doing good. We rolling. We hustling. We having fun. But we traveling, hitting the road, promoting this that people don't know. We catching planes. We going to Kansas City. We going to Cincinnati. We hitting cities. We hitting Jack the Rapper. We hitting a conference. We at all these places. So P said, know what, it's time to work on another album. My solo. What's the solo called, P? 99 Ways to Die. Oh, I like that one. I'm going to have a cigar in my hand and two nines in my hand. That was the nines P usually had. He bought him another one. He got the two nines in there with the cigar in the mouth. 99 Ways to Die. That's the one that hit the Billboard charts. That's the one we know we was on our way. We knew we was going to make it. We knew it. Because what P do is instead of spending all the money, he take all the money and throw it back. We might make about 20 G's. P say, King, here, $3,000 for you. Here's something for me. Here's something for the family. And we'll give this to Silk, and that's what we got to do, the music. So all our hustling money, everything went back into the music.
Yeah, you were able to build almost like, you know, saying for each one was a stepping stone.
Each one was a stepping stone. He took advantage of it. He took everybody almost get that stepping stone, but some people take their money and go buy cars. They might go to the strip club. They might do this. But P said, "No, what, we're gonna take the money and we're gonna put it back in." That's how he blew up. Every money he make, if he go gold, he gonna give all that money away to the next hungry person. Who don't want to do what he's going to do.
Yeah. He definitely, you know what I'm saying, went above and beyond probably what any of you guys imagined. Did you guys think it would, you know, get up to 750 million records sold?
Well, we knew he was going to succeed. So if you know you're going to succeed, it's fucked. You can go up to a trillion. It's all about knowing if you're going to succeed. That's the seed that take you there. You know, look at Jordan. They knew he was gonna succeed, but he keep going. That's how evolution go. You know, if you stick with it and keep going, you're gonna keep getting bigger and bigger. But the goal is to succeed. If you get a gold record, you succeed, right? If you want to stop, that's on you. But we don't stop. So we're gonna get bigger and bigger. It's like Rice Krispies or Snap, Crackle, Spokes, Pop. They don't stop. They don't keep coming with a new box.
Yeah, you guys, you're doing this No Limit Chronicles. It's all over the internet. Everybody's talking about it. Very high-rated TV show. I even saw BET put a clip up of you. It was real good to see because I remember reviewing your albums and Murder Dog and Tobin and you sending packages to me back in the day.
Exactly.
And here you are now, you know what I'm saying, finally getting your story out there. Let me ask you.
Finally getting my story out.
I asked this to Tobin when he was on a few weeks back. When you were doing the No Limit Chronicles, did you have a chance to talk to P at all?
No. But I had people already talking to him because my cousin rolling with him. So I got in between. Me and P got yet to shake hands and see where we're going because we got in between people that's keeping the communication clean.
Oh, that's great. That's great because
yeah, I'm already got people saying. Okay.
No, I was just gonna say it's a positive thing because you guys, you know, you guys grew up together. It's much bigger than music, you know.
It's much bigger.
When was the last time you actually talked to Master P?
1995. That long.
Wow. So this is right after you guys got the Priority deal, pretty much?
Right after the deal. I'm sitting in Jimmy Iovine's office with Master P. We already got the True album did. They already got a billboard on Hollywood Boulevard. I'm here. I made it with them. I made it. I'm right there. All we got, what we got to do is start selling records, and I'm here. People don't know I made it with him all the way to Priority.
Yeah.
They can't write me out the record books. I'm right here. I made it with you. I was a success. I just got a raw deal.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you guys can, I mean, because you guys are still here. That's the beautiful thing. Hopefully you guys can mend the relationship and do something together. Fans would love that.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. I can, and he can see it too because the fans putting it together. The fans like, nah, this, because you want real. You want real now. It's hard to get real. So people see some realness. Now, this the real deal. Because you can't get up there and keep lying and lying and lying because it's going to play out. If it's not going to be real, it's not going to be around.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have, you know what I'm saying, the real deal. And the fans, you know, that's what they want, too.
That's what they want. They showed me a clip of the Breakfast Club, so they was talking about me on the Breakfast Club with Master P, and you telling him how much love he got from me, you know what I'm saying? And he hated that we broke, we separatized and all that. So it's a good, the atmosphere is really going smooth, and we grown men now, we not kids, so we didn't have a fist fight, never did, we never shot at each other, never had death threats, so the air is clean. Me and this man is good. We good, man.
That's beautiful to hear. You know,
yeah, we good.
I'm real glad to hear that because, you know, that's when they go to make, eventually they're going to make a movie. You know, documentaries are awesome, but eventually they got to do like a Straight Outta Compton, All Eyes on Me type movie. And they're going to need input from everybody that was involved. You know what I'm saying? Do you see that happening in the future? A motion picture?
It's inevitable. If you're smart and be a smart man, but I don't know what kind of twist he might put on it because I'm hoping he followed through where hold on one second. Let me clear this line. Can I clear this line?
Yeah, for sure, George. Classic albums yourself, projects, compilations. You and Tobin, you know, did a lot of stuff together. You ever want to do any more things with Tobin in the future?
Oh, me and Tobin, good. Me and Tobin talk on the phone all the time. But the only thing with Tobin is I don't think he into the business no more because it get kind of rough for you. You know, when you're a manager, the game get rough. You get all of, you know, it's a hard road, man, because you got a big old sack to carry. So I don't know if he want to get in this business no more, because, you know, Tobin's smart. He can do other stuff. He already did what he had to do as far as entertainment. My feelings, I wasn't getting a good feedback there, because I offered some stuff for him to do with me. But he didn't step up to the table, and I understood that what he went through, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's.
Because you got to realize before. You got to realize before I put out my first album with P, Tobin, Master P them jumped on him. You know, after they found out me and Tobin, while I was working with Tobin, P and about 7 of his boys jumped on him. So that was hard for him to come back on, too.
Yeah. Definitely.
But that was back in the day when it first started. That's when he got over that and we started moving ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, but you had quite a success, underground career yourself. You know, you put out
I did good.
Like I said, a lot of them albums, you know, we had in the Murder Dog, of course. And you definitely had them worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, and when you were doing those projects, this is after you left No Limit, obviously. You didn't have any contact with anybody else from No Limit that left, or like Trey A, because
no.
Trey A came on, he was there for just one album. A few other guys, Cain and Abel, they left after a few years.
Well, you got to realize, even though I wasn't with No Limit, I still was that other half. So people always thought in their mind that any day that me and Pete can get back together. They always thought that because they never forgot how thick me and this guy was. Everybody, he never elaborated on the separation with anybody on the No Limit tank. So, but they knew about me, so nobody really reached out to me because they didn't know how to come at me. You know, because they heard, you don't go at King George, you don't mention him, his name, none of that. So I had a kind of rough image. They made this big old image of me.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. It
is what it is.
It's full circle.
It's full circle, baby. It's full circle.
And again, I encourage people listening, go to BET.com, check out the King George video clips, the excerpts. I think they liked you on the BET, man. You were one of the standouts.
They're loving me, man. If this was a horse race, I have a bunch of roses in my hand.
Yeah.
For real, though, that's how much love I'm getting. I'm serious. I'm getting some spectacular love, man. And I love it because it showed me that it's still realness out here. I thought it was gone. You know, they just needed something like this. You know? They just needed something like this to pull this whole hip-hop game back together.
Well, we had the No Limit Chronicles, you know what I'm saying? What about the King George Chronicles? What about you doing a documentary, you know what I'm saying?
I did. I got one ready to go. It's my version of the whole thing. It's a box set. It's called King George First Two No Limit Soldier. It's a box set. You get the booklet. You get the EP album. You get the documentary I did when I hit the streets after the No Limit thing and sold 20,000 albums on the street. So you can see how I get down. And I got the my documentary, the First Two No Limit Soldier documentary. So I got that box set ready to go. I got that bullet already loaded in the chamber.
Oh, that's what's up. Hey, congratulations on everything, man. It's good to see this.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thanks for the love, man.
A lot of bad news in 2020, but it's good to see stuff like this happen. When are you dropping that box set, bro?
October 28th.
okay.
Yeah, I'm giving this whole thing a similar rate. Everybody, you know, they got this good buzz out here. So I have that ready in October. I got it ready to go now. But the distributors need to get it around and see who want to order it. Plus, I'm going to have it online. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to have one with a bow on it for you.
Oh, that's, man, I appreciate that, brother. You already know.
Oh, yeah.
That.
I'm going to have it all set up for you.
I used to love getting them, me and mine, packages back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I got you covered. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
We're putting the finishing touches on it right now.
Always generous with them promo packages back in the day. Appreciate
it. Oh, hell
that.
Yeah, I got you. You know, I got a
man.
Santa Claus sack for you.
Hey, that's what's up, George. Hey, man, you take care of yourself, brother. And
Thank you, brother.
Let's do this again in a couple months or something, man.
Thank you, brother. Have a good one.
You too. That's what I'm talking about, the one and only King George. Man, real good to talk to him, man. We chopped it up for a while tonight. Hope you guys enjoy it. Man, we'll be getting at you real soon. Get out of here.
Yon, I'm here to see King George. And y'all gonna let that fool out of jail.
Just for that, I'm gonna give that nigga 20 to life. Burn, nigga, burn.
Somebody in the courthouse stuck in jail. Time moving slow, just like a snail handcuffed to the rail. Dealt a bad deal. Quiet in the court when the judge said bail. Caught up in the system, can't get loose. Loud words, jump suit, back they boot. 25, what the hell? That's what I get. No, I don't smoke, but I can go full cigarette. Another black man in a cell doing time. My name's on my chest, number 6639. If I gotta die, King George ain't scared. With a bald head, I'll be better off dead. Three strikes and they trying to give a nigga life.
Joseph Wilson.
What's up?
Yeah, man. You're going to traffic court.
Oh, no.